from Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another JPR Live session from afar. My guest today has just released a third album called Truth in the Mud on Traviana Records. It's Tara Dente. Hello. Welcome to JPR. Thanks for doing this.
Hi, Eric. Thank you so much for having me.
Where are you physically today, by the way?
I'm sitting inside of a room in a farmhouse in New Jersey. I'm in central Jersey in a town called Red Bank. And
how did a guitar-playing singer-songwriter end up on a farm in Red Bank, New Jersey?
Well, I was coming back from a cross-country trip from Colorado in 2018, and I actually had let go of my previous living situation and kind of became a vagabond intentionally and was just going to find the next step when I got back. It was in the middle of the summer. So, you know, it's a little more friendly to people who are vagabonding. So I was on my way back, and I actually halfway through the trip back, I got a phone call from a friend, another musician, who actually knew about a position opening at this farm, which is also a day program for adults with autism, and really cool place. And they have goats and chickens, and they needed some assistance with the goats and some help with animal care. So he said, do you want to work on the farm and also live there? And I was like, well, actually 100%. Yes. Cause I'm looking for a place to be. So
yeah,
here we are a couple years later.
I feel like this is a situation that you might have been a little ahead of the curve compared to a lot of musicians finding themselves in the situation now, which is that you get mail at one location, your stuff is physically at another location, but you don't really live anywhere because you're out on the road all the time. And now folks are finding themselves needing to actually have more of a permanent place to call home.
Oh my goodness. It has been a dream to be here during, you know, during COVID, and before that it was already great, and it's a great place. And it's been really nice to not be kind of isolated by myself in an apartment somewhere where I can't go out. And so I've had this beautiful place to just be with animals, like walk around, get fresh air, and have a community around me of people. So it's been super, yeah, I've been very fortunate.
You are originally from New Jersey, right?
Yes, I am.
Just outside of Asbury Park, which I seem to recall is famous because of another musician.
Someone named Bruce, I think. Yeah. Yeah. I'm from Long Branch, New Jersey. So it's not even 15 minutes north of Asbury Park. And I was actually born in Red Bank. So, you know, I've spent most of my life in New Jersey. Yeah.
Gotcha. So for a sense of clarity here as we get started, being a New Jersey native, it is not Tara, nor is it Tara, it is Tara Dente.
Yes. Yes, and I think you're the only person who has not from New Jersey who has said it correctly.
I have insider information to help me. So
yes,
you know, you mentioned the farm, you mentioned animals. Obviously you have some interest and proclivity for working with animals. Nature has been a really big thing for you from the beginning in terms of the imagery in your songs. What started that connection to our natural world?
Well, I spent a lot of time alone growing up. I was homeschooled from birth until sixth grade.
Do you have siblings?
I do, yeah. I have a younger brother, who's 4 years younger, and an older sister, who's 2 years older. And so we spent a lot of time together, but we were all sort of raised to be introverts. I mean, whether or not that, you know, was mostly our personality or not, we just had a lot of time to ourselves. Although we did, you know, we had friends, we had groups of people getting together throughout the week to do academic trips and field trips and things like that. And I grew up going to church, so there was a big community there of people. But it was, for the most part, a pretty small circle of people in my life until I branched out and demanded that I go to school because I was so ready to do so. And but I would say my inner life was definitely really, really strong and encouraged just from my environment and my lifestyle all the way through the age of about 12.
So the nature thing even carries over to the title of the new record, Truth in the Mud. What's the story there? Why'd you choose to name the record that?
Well, there was a place that I grew up playing as a kid down the road where me and my siblings would go. And there's a big baseball field. And then if you walk to the back of it, it drops down to this bay area. There's like a tiny little piece of beach, but the beach is kind of, it's not really sand, it's more like mud. So we would go down there, and it wasn't a pretty place necessarily. It was just private. It was secret, you know. So we would go through the reeds in the back of the baseball field, the really tall reeds, and we'd kind of sneak through them almost like our own little our version of going through the coat closet into Narnia. And then we would jump down off of that little barrier that the water touches at high tide. But at low tide, we could kind of hang out on this little beach area. And it's really about how you can't really hide from who you were when you were a kid, because you're honest. You know, you're honest. There's no infringement on, you know, your personality is still forming, but you're not really hiding behind your ego so much. And there's just a truthfulness in that. And so I kind of had this idea or this imagery in my mind of being in that place, and how mud itself does hold a lot of information. Dirt holds a lot of information. You know, you can go back millennia by digging through the earth. And I think when you go into your history and you remind yourself, or you're reminded of stories of your past, you can really kind of piece together why you are the way you are now and who you are and like what shaped you. So Truth in the Mud is about how you can't really escape from who you are. And as you get older, I think you become more simple and you become more of just who you are when you were a kid, when, you know, no one was really writing your story necessarily. Mm. There were just less influences on you, I want to say. But
yeah,
more or less it's about innocence and about truthfulness. So
you were a piano player at first, right?
Yeah. So we had an upright piano in the living room, and I just gravitated toward it. And I loved just plunking around on it. And my parents realized I was really into it and was just finding melodies and kind of writing little songs from a young age. And then they did give me the opportunity to try lessons, which I don't remember taking very well to, but I'm very grateful that they gave me that chance, because it did, you know, instill some formal practice in me. Yeah. But I always loved figuring things out on my own by ear.
When did the transition happen to guitar?
So I started playing guitar officially when I was about 17. I had a boyfriend in high school who bought a Martin guitar, and he was teaching himself. He learned some chords. I think he took some lessons too. And I picked it up, and it was like a really nice, he got a nice Martin. So I remember picking it up and just strumming it and just feeling like, wow, this feels really good. This is really nice. And I felt just so great about how you could physically be connected to the instrument. You know, you could have it against your body and actually feel like the sound waves in your body. It's just a different experience than piano. And so he taught me about 4 or 5 chords, and then I kind of took it from there. I do have an aunt on my dad's side, Aunt Tina, who was very, very supportive of music in my life, and she'd bring her classical guitar to all the family gatherings and kind of let me strum it. And just, you know, I didn't know what I was doing, but I was exposed to it at a young age. And also had someone lived with us for a period of time growing up, and he was older than me, and he played an acoustic guitar for a little bit. For some reason, it wound up in a trash can outside of my house with a couple strings on it. Not sure if he just went heavy metal on it and smashed it up or something, but it was in the trash can, and I found it. And I picked it up out of the trash, and like it was like this black guitar, and it had the two lowest strings, I think. But finding that guitar and the kind of just, I don't know, there was something really significant about it to me, just like discovering it in the trash can. Mm. And so there were these kind of little moments like sprinkled throughout that impacted me. And I was always intrigued by it, but I didn't pick it up until I was a teenager.
Gotcha. And now here we are, third full-length record called Truth in the Mud. Tara Dente is my guest today on JPR Live Sessions. Tara Dente, TaraDente.com is the place to go online to look, to hear, to see more. Is it a black guitar you have in your hands today, or have you upgraded to something else for our live session?
I would love to say that I held on to that trash guitar, but I did not. I have a Martin 0015, which I actually, not so regretfully so, have painted. I bought some oil paints. You know, COVID, man, what can I say? Like, we're home. I'm a creative person. So I painted it, and I have no regrets. And it's in some of my pictures, so you guys can check that out online if you feel all right. Really driven to see how I messed up this very fine instrument.
What do you want to play first for us today?
I'm going to play Hill So Steep, which is the single off of the album, and it's about a nightmare that I had following a really tough day, and I think it's actually something that might be pretty fitting for how a lot of people are feeling right now in the world, and so yeah, it's called Hill So Steep.
This is Tara Dente, playing live on JPR.
Driving up a hill so steep, thought the ground would let me go. When I closed my eyes and I spun so fast, thought my time had surely come. But I landed soft on a bed so high in a house I did not know. Place to pass this nauseous night when I almost died alone. This old car won't make it, always swerving round the lights. Sticky wheel with clammy hands and endless paper fights. Oh, the earth will surely push me off. It doesn't want me here, I see. At least these things are only true in the darkness of my dreams. Oh, climb, 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 climb. Who said this was okay? Always on the cusp of never seeing another day. But we'll lean into the bright side, 'cause it's all that we can do. When the daytime leans so heavy that our dreams are heavy too. Shadows meet me face to face, like a night on a stormy sea. Swirly waters and heavy clouds make for my shaking knees. It's all that we can do. When the daytime leans so heavy that our dreams are heavy too. Let me go. Climb, climb, climb. Driving up a hill so steep, thought the ground would let me go.
That is called Hill So Steep. Tara Dente is my guest. It's a song from her brand new record called Truth in the Mud, which I seem to remember it came out in July, I think, on Traviana Records. Information can be found online at taradente.com. Thanks for playing.
Sure.
Two things stick out at me from that. One, just how well that song translates in a solo version. And also in a solo version, there are some sort of subtle, like, chord substitutions going on that I don't really hear so much in the full band version on the album, which are very cool. So thanks for sharing that with us.
Sure. I mean, I only started playing with a band much, much later. I spent most of my time trying to fill all the space by myself. So I think I'm accustomed to making it interesting by myself, or trying to at least. So
speaking of that, if I've done the math correctly, I want to say that you started going to open mics like in your early to mid 20s or something like that.
Yeah.
And you were playing acoustic guitar, but you had also rigged up like a little suitcase drum and hi-hat thing.
It's a tambourine that's attached to the side of the suitcase.
Okay.
I have a friend here in New Jersey who is just really good with percussion and drums, and he kind of builds his own kits, Kevin Grossman. And he helped me kind of create a kick drum out of the suitcase, and then we fixed a tambourine to the side of it. So I play it behind me and use my heels. And the sad part is that I only used it for a little while until my drummer came along and was just like, hey, you want a drummer? And I'm like, all right, yeah, I just got used to the kick drum, but like, of course I want a drummer. You're amazing. So I haven't been using it as much lately.
Before we went on the air, we were talking about some of your influences, musical influences, and they're, to a degree, surprising for someone who makes the kind of music you make. You have talked about the Shins being pretty instrumental and discovering them from the soundtrack of Garden State. You've talked about the sort of timelessness of Nick Drake. But one musician that we have in common as someone that we really like is Enya.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's a weird, I don't know. I mean, it's all over the place, right? Music is vast. Our influences are so vast sometimes.
Do you feel like anything that Enya does has permeated you and how you create music?
Absolutely. I think I loved that. I actually couldn't really understand what she was saying a lot of the time. I know
Gaelic, I think, right?
I know, yeah. And A Day Without Rain, that album, I remember, I just have this memory of kind of like walking down the street to my friend's place. It probably took me a good half hour, 45 minutes to walk to her house, but I had a little Discman and I would put my Enya CD in there and I would walk down the road and just get lost in my mind and like forget that I lived in the suburbs and I would be somewhere else. And that's one of my earliest memories of feeling like I claimed something for myself. In terms of like, this is my CD, I picked this. Like, I don't even remember if I did. I don't know where I found it. You know, someone might have given it to me. Who knows? Like, maybe my mom bought it for me. But Enya, the thing about her is like, she can, whether or not she writes all her melodies, I don't know, but she can write a melody and sing a melody that will be forever lodged into your mind. Like, it just won't go anywhere. So whether you like her or not, I guess it could be a problem for some people. But yeah. I loved the soundscapes. I loved the melodies. I loved how it kind of envelops you. Like, you get lost in the reverb and the spaciousness of it. And
any plans for you to do a 100 overdubbed vocal track thing on your next record?
Well, if I ever choose to like release some sort of special like Tara's early home demos, then you'll hear plenty of that, but not done well.
All right. Well, we'll take one done solo with acoustic guitar. Tara Dente is my guest on JPR Live Sessions. Her brand new record is called Truth in the Mud. It's out on Traviana Records. Information is online at taradente.com. What do you want to play next?
So I'm going to play a song called The Dress. And this one is not on any of my albums. It's somewhat new. And it's definitely got the Americana sort of stamp on it that has become more prominent in my sound in the last couple of years, especially playing with the band and everything. And The dress in the song is a metaphor, and you can kind of replace it with anything in your life that feels a bit out of reach. And there's a fun little twist at the end of the song. So this is called The Dress.
Lincoln from the couch, a Jackson in the drawer, a Lucky Jefferson under my pillow. And I still can't get together enough presidents to buy the dress in the boutique window.
That is Tara Dente playing live for us today on JPR Live Sessions from her home in New Jersey. It's a song not on an album called The Dress. Thanks for sharing and playing for us.
Sure.
At this point, are you more comfortable now as the leader of a band or playing solo?
That's a good question. I'm getting more comfortable with the band. I did spend, you know, a good 8 years or so playing by myself and getting really used to that really folky thing of, again, kind of filling all the space with finger picking and all these nuances on the guitar and being really busy vocally sometimes. And So my songs have kind of chilled out a little bit. I still really enjoy finger picking, and I think I'm sort of crafting songs now with the idea of a band in mind, because I appreciate these other elements that these people can bring to the sound. So performance wise, it's obviously, it's a big communication thing to be able to communicate with all these people and have a language together as a band. So we're still developing that. It's been, we've slowly kind of been gathering, I've been gathering this group of people. I don't even want to say I've been gathering them. They sort of have come to me over time, and I'm really super grateful for that. So I've known them all for a while, same community of people, of musicians, and started out with my bass player, Chris DeBrow. So he was the first one to play with me, and we were a duo at the time. So it was me on my kick drum and guitar, and he was playing upright bass. And after that, I believe it was Santo Rizzolo on drums. This might be out of order slightly, but he came up to me and was, you know, just like, I really want to play with you. And I was almost hesitant at first because I felt like I can't play with the drummer. Like, who am I? I'm just a folk singer. What? Like, so I almost felt like I couldn't say yes to that. And he asked me
not
several
to mention,
times.
Your right yeah. heel would get jealous.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah. He loves it. I've thought about at some point just doing like a super show where I like play and he plays at the same time. It might be a nightmare. I'm not sure. It might be fine. But he's incredible. It took me a while to actually feel like, you know what? Yeah, I can play with the drummer. And then I played a little bit with a gentleman named Dave Hayes, who is the album was dedicated to, and I wrote the song Open Seas about him. But he played pedal steel, and he was awesome. So there was a little trio going at one point. And then when he passed away, I was kind of trying to keep my mind open for who might be able to, you know, there aren't a lot of pedal steel players to begin with, but in New Jersey, it's even less so. And so my friend Chris Colon, I saw him playing lap steel with his band. And so I asked him one day, I was like, hey, do you want to play with us sometimes? And he's super busy. He's doing a lot, but he was, I'm really grateful that he wanted to join in. And so when he can play with us, he plays with us and has morphed more into like electric guitar rather than lap steel. I definitely have dreams of having consistent pedal steel in the band. It's one of my all-time favorite instruments.
When was the last time you guys were actually all able to get together?
So we were able to do an outdoor show at a beach bar in Highlands, New Jersey. So we just did that a couple weeks ago, and it was a lot of fun. And I was just going to say, I know I'm going on and on, but there are two, at its biggest, the band also includes keys, like organ, piano, Mark Maysfield, and Nicole Scorzone on violin. And so that's a really fun time. Like when we are all together and making it happen. So we were able to do that for the first time in just months and months. So it felt really good.
We've kind of already touched on this, but obviously since March, everybody's been dealing with the pandemic shutdown. And it sounds like you've been occupying your time working on a farm, milking goats, painting martens. How are you getting through this transitional period of trying to make your way as a musician without a lot of opportunity?
It's easy to look back and kind of put some rose-colored glasses on and say, well, you know, we're just, it's been hard. There have been a lot of dips emotionally. There have been some really great highs and some really low lows. And I think that humans already feel this huge range of emotions, but when we're in a situation like this, all of those emotions are just really heightened. So I would say I've really stopped taking for granted people that care about me and who I care about. We really can't do anything without people, without other people supporting us and loving us. And so I would say I kind of snapped out of my hermit mode, even though, like, ironically, in this time, you know, there was a period of time where I think I was actually kind of having a blissful introvert time where I was like, oh my God, I have so much time alone. This is awesome. But then there was like a tipping point where it's like, oh my God, I need to connect with people. And so the people who I have been able to see, I just appreciate them a lot more. And creatively, you know, like I've been really fortunate that working with Traviana, they're an incredible label, Mountain Fever Records. Mark and Melody and the team are just have been really supportive, and you know, and we didn't know when we would release this album. We were going to do it before COVID, and then COVID hit. So, you know, we did it, and we did kind of an online release show, and we're just doing what we can. I mean, I'm still writing songs, not at a feverish pace, but I'm definitely writing songs and just holding on to the vision, you know?
Yeah. Well, I am glad that technology has allowed us to connect today. I'm grateful that you had time to do this. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, me too. Thank you so much, Eric. I hope to get out to Oregon sooner than later.
We'd love to have you. Tara Dente is my guest on JPR Live Sessions. Her new record is called Truth in the Mud. It's her third. It's out on Traviana Records. Information can be found at her website, which is taradente.com, taradente.com. Will you play one more song for us?
Sure. So this one is called Enough. And the version on the album I love very much, and it's a bit different than the original version. So the original, I want to give credit to Nick Drake for the inspiration. Mm. It feels kind of like it has that folky signature to it that I'm really into. And I love both versions, but this one is the acoustic original version. And the idea behind it is that, you know, every day I think people go through a wave of I'm not enough, I'm doing fine, I'm more than enough. There's a huge range. And so this is a kind of reminder that everyone is enough.
That you paid for, and turn off the light on the first floor, and wash your hands. It's a dirty world out there. Make your bed in the morning, and try not to be too boring. It's competitive out there, and you gotta be memorable. And you gotta be strong and pay your bills on your own. And you gotta be tough but not look too rough. And you gotta make your way and find time to play. You gotta be from the bad break, and you moved yourself to a new state, and you said you feel safe where no one knows your crimes. And you gotta be strong and pay your bills on your own. And you gotta be tough but not look too rough. And you gotta make your way and find time to play. You gotta be enough. You gotta be enough, you gotta be enough, you gotta be enough, you gotta be enough, and you are.
that is beautiful. It's called Enough. Tara Dente is playing live for us today on JPR Live Sessions from her home in Red Bank, New Jersey, the metropolis of Red Bank. Her new record is called Truth in the Mud. You can find information at her website, taradente.com. Tara, thanks again for doing this. It's great to chat with you.
Thank you so much. You as well.